We're going to look at our second Bible reading this morning, which is 2 Timothy chapter 4. They've got the page number 1194. It should be 1190. What is it? It is 1197. I've misread it. Sorry. What it says on the slide is right. I got confused by the number 4. It's 1197 is the page number. It is chapter 4 in 2 Timothy. We've already prayed to God to work in us today. So let's read this word. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I, that's Paul, give you, writing to Timothy, I, Paul, give you, Timothy, this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he's helpful to me in my ministry. I sent Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, and my scrolls, especially the parchments. Alexander the metalworker did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. You too should be on your guard against him, because he strongly opposed our message. At my first offence, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory for ever and ever. Amen. Greet Priscilla and Aquila in the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed in Corinth. I left Trophimus ill in Miletus. Do your best to get here before winter. Eubulus greets you, and so do Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brothers and sisters. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you all. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A slightly strange word of the Lord. There's instructions and names. We'll think about that in a bit. I want to begin with this talk, which is the last going through the second letter to Timothy. I want to begin this talk sort of giving an overview of all of the book. It's four chapters long. Anyhow, I've got a slide, thank you, which summarizes what I think the main message has been, the main message so far, that God promises life through Jesus. Some church leaders stop teaching that. They turn away from it. But you, so Paul writing to Timothy, the church leader, he says, you, Timothy, you keep teaching it. Keep on teaching God's message. So let me show you that. Turn back a page to chapter 1, where Paul begins the letter and describes himself, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. That is what we believers trust. God is promising life, and that life is only if we go to Jesus. God gives his people a spirit of power, of love and self-control to help us stay the course. And that's in chapter 1, 7, verse 7. For the spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love and self-discipline. We need those things in a world that denies God's promise, or worse, doesn't want to listen to God's promise. We need power. Power is the ability to get things done. And the thing we need to get done is to keep going as Christians when all around us people are saying we're stupid to be Christians. When all around, when within us there's temptations to give up. We need God's power. Love means caring about other people. We need love for them to be willing to speak about Jesus when we get an opportunity so that they can hear the promise of life. Self-discipline means doing the right thing even when we don't feel like it. And we need self-discipline in order not just to live by our feelings, but to live according to the truth of God. So Paul says to Timothy, don't be ashamed, but suffer with me, verse 8 of chapter 1. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Believers trust God's promise. He gives us the Spirit that will enable us to keep going, but we can expect to suffer. So Paul says to Timothy, join me, suffer with me. And we do that because what we have has come as a gift from God. Our life with God is as a gift from him. You see that in the next verses in chapter 1. Verse 9. He, that's God, saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we had done. So God say he's our Savior. We were in danger, but he sent Jesus to make us safe. We were in danger of going to hell, but Jesus came to make us safe. He called us to live a new life, a holy life, and he teaches us how to do that. But he didn't do that because we're good people. Did you remember this? This is the Christian message. We are not. This is not the gathering of all the good people in Dagenham this morning, and out there are the bad people. God saved us even though we weren't good. If you're a believer in Jesus, it's not because you're a good person. That means you're a forgiven person. So that's God's message. That's the promise of life, and we hear that promise of life through God's message. Chapter 1, verse 10. Grace has been now revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So this is Paul's message to Timothy, the church teacher. Teach these things. You will suffer if you teach it. Other people have been ashamed of Paul and have been ashamed of his message. So on the slide there, it's on the screen above me. God promises life through Jesus, but some church leaders stop teaching that. They pull back from Paul. They pull back from teaching the message. Timothy's not to be like them. Verse chapter 2. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Get your strength from God's kindness. Verse 2. And the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. We want this message to keep being taught. Paul is going to have to stop soon. Timothy is his follower. Timothy is going to train others so that they also will teach the message. But what will happen as they teach the message? Look at verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. Comes up again, doesn't it? You will suffer. And he said to Timothy in chapter 2, verse 3 above there, join with me in suffering. So we have this message, this promise of life. God gives life to people not because we're good, but Jesus the Savior came into the world to save us and to enable us to start to live a new life. But others don't like that message. And those who stay close to that message will suffer, Paul says. Paul has set Timothy then a model. If you turn over to chapter 3, verse 10. in this world where people are resisting the message and even church leaders have stopped teaching it. Chapter 2, 3, verse 10. You, however, you, Timothy, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions and sufferings. You've seen those things. You've seen that as being the way for me, Timothy. Verse 12. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. That's what will happen. But you, Timothy, keep on teaching the message. Verse 14, chapter 3, verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learned it, and how from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And then he tells him about the Scripture. Keep teaching the Bible. So that's the message. God promises life through Jesus. Some people, some church leaders are stopping teaching that message. But you, Timothy, keep on teaching God's message. And us, centuries later, we need to be a church where we keep hearing the message, we keep sticking to the message, even when around us people are turning away. And that's what we're going to see in chapter 4. And yet, if you could go on to the next bit, there we go. You keep on teaching God's message. That's really what chapter 4 emphasizes. Why should they do that? Chapter 4, verse 1. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who would judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. So do it because of who God is and who Jesus is. Because it is true of God, keep this command. And there's the command in verse 2. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage. We, in England today, we tend to use the word preaching for what I'm doing now. I stand at the front of church and I talk to everyone. Actually, in the New Testament, the word preach, it more go out into the marketplace or go to your workplace and tell people there. It's what we might call evangelism. So preaching, when that word comes up in the New Testament, it's more, it's going out of the church on a Sunday to other places. But God's message is to be spoken in the church as well, to be taught there in church and out of church. And it's to happen in season and out of season. Not just when it's popular, but also when it's unpopular. It's the season now for wearing shorts and t-shirts, isn't it? And the trendy sunglasses are out. Someone wearing a thick coat and a woolly hat, they're wearing clothes that don't fit the season. It's out of season for those things. They don't go. But Paul says to Timothy, you're a teacher of God's message. Teach it in season and out of season. Whether it seems to fit or when it doesn't fit. So don't just do it when it's popular. Do it when it's unpopular. Do it on a week when you're full of enthusiasm and excited, and on a week when you find it hard yourself as a Christian. You keep teaching. He's to correct in verse 2. That means point out twisted ideas that need putting straight. He's to rebuke. That means he'll have to speak to people who are living against the truth. They need rebuking. He'll have to encourage. All of us need encouragement, don't we? It's a struggle to keep going as Christians, and we need encouragement. Do this. Why? Well, he said in verse 1, in the light of who God is, in the presence of God, and in the light of who Jesus is, do these things. But there's another reason in verse 3 and 4. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. What do you do if you've got an itch? You scratch it, don't you? If you've got an itch, you scratch it. What do you do if you've got itchy ears? It's a picture Paul's using, but you get something to scratch that itch. And the scratching that they want, the itchy ears, it's to hear the teaching that they would like to hear. They will not put up with sound teaching, verse 3. But they will seek out different teaching. Verse 3, the people will get the teachers that they want. It's an odd way of talking about it. We normally think about a teacher putting out their message and people gather to the teacher. But here it's saying that the people gather the teachers around them. They get the teachers that they want. Do you see that? End of verse 3. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound teaching doctrine. Instead, to suit their own doctrines. Sorry, let me read that again. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They gather the teachers to them. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. So turn their ears from the truth and they turn their ears to listen to myths. Now, they probably didn't say, oh, I'm going to that new church today. I'm going along to hear that great teacher. He teaches myths. They've said it like that. But that's what Paul is saying they're doing. They're going to hear things that are not true. And that's what Paul is telling us about them. So, and this is true for where we live today in the West. We're surrounded by false teaching, which is why church teachers need to keep on teaching the truth in season and out of season. We, as a church, we go door-to-door visiting once a month to seek to meet people and invite them to come and hear. Every Thursday morning in term time, there is a Bible story explained at First Steps, the mother and toddler group. And I hope you've heard, sometimes on Sundays, you've heard me or someone else at the front encouraging you to get to know your neighbours at work and at home, for them to know you, for you to know their names and them your name, and for them to know you're a Christian. That's a first step in you speaking that word in season and out of season. It might be you can invite them to come and hear it at church, or you're praying, if they live too far away to come here, you pray some opportunity to speak to them. People around us have itching ears. We have itching ears. And we want to get the teachers who will scratch that itch. Why do they do this? They do it to suit their own desires, it says in verse 3, to get what they want. It's very common on the internet, isn't it? People will go to the things they like and keep hearing the messages they want. People don't go to the internet generally to think, oh, let me hear someone correct me. Let me hear a different view. The internet works so that we're in a little echo chamber. Let's think about some of the ways that people want to satisfy their desires today. One of the popular scratches that people have, itches that they have, is they want church teachers to tell them it's good to find what your desires are. It's good to satisfy your desires. If you repress your desires, that's harmful. You've heard that? Yeah? This is an idea very common in our society, and that's coming into churches. That's an idea people want to hear in churches, but it's a myth. That is not Christian teaching to say that God intends us essentially to find what our desires are and express them. The teaching that Jesus brings prosperity and health. People flood to that, don't they? Internet celebrity teachers teach that. That's a myth. But people like to hear that teaching. There's the lie that we are basically good people. But the idea that I can be good enough for God, that's a myth. Paul has said at the beginning of this letter, hasn't he, that God saved us not because of good things we've done. Now, all of those three false ideas I've just mentioned, the idea that we flourish when we satisfy our desires, the idea that Jesus comes for prosperity and health, the idea that we're basically good, all of those reduce the importance of Jesus. Jesus didn't come into the world to approve our basic desires. He came to save us. Yeah, we don't come to church to encourage each other, yeah, find your desires and live them out. We don't come to repress our desires. We admit them and confess them, because so often they're wrong. We trust that Jesus is the Saviour, because despite our wrong desires. Jesus is not the servant of my desires for prosperity and health. We are glad when we have good health, and we thank God for the medicine that we benefit from in this country. But Paul has said several times, those who serve Jesus will suffer. Jesus said, if the world hated me, it will hate my followers. It doesn't sound like he's offering prosperity and health, does it? And then the third false idea, that we're all good people at heart. Jesus did not come for those who were good. If such a person existed, they wouldn't need Jesus, because Jesus came to rescue people who needed help because they weren't good. So Timothy is to tell the truth about Jesus, and church leaders today are to do that in season and out of season, because God knows, because people need to be ready to meet Jesus the judge, and to tell the truth because people are always wanting to turn away from the truth. They're always wanting to turn their ears towards false ideas. Now there's a warning for us in this, isn't there? Because what kind of people here were turning away from the truth? If you turn away from the truth, it means you were listening to the truth beforehand. Where were they listening to the truth before? They were being taught in church. And yet they've decided to turn away. It's people like us. We need to beware of our hearts, don't we? That we will seek out teaching that suits our desires, that scratches our itching ears. What we try to do to protect ourselves from that at Dagenham Parish Church is we work through the Bible, chapter by chapter, book by book. That forces us to look at chapters we wouldn't have picked. So I wouldn't have picked end of chapter 4 here, where we've got a list of names and Paul's travel. I would have picked other chapters of the Bible. So that's a protection for us. We have Bibles in the seats. I hope you've got a Bible open on your lap. The idea is you will be listening to the teacher at the front. You'll be checking the words. And we love it if you come back to us with questions about what we've been saying. That's a protection for us, isn't it? Do you see that we need these things? We are people who are in danger of looking out for teaching that suits our desires. We have itchy ears that wants people to tell us what we like to hear. And the protection that God gives us is Bible teaching. Faithful Bible teaching from the Bible. Paul commands Timothy again, verse 5. But you keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. Teaching them, keep his head, because it's a hard job to carefully teach the Bible. Endure suffering. Have you heard that message from 2 Timothy yet? You will suffer if you serve God's message. It's normal to suffer. So he says here, endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Make them, well, why does an evangelist do that job? What's he doing? This is not a different job. Timothy is to teach the message of God's promise of life. And if he's doing that, he's telling the gospel, that's being an evangelist. It's not an extra job. It's part of fulfilling his duties. Now, the final section I've already mentioned seems a bit strange for God to include in the Bible. There's a list of names. Many of those you might not have heard of. There's places you might not have heard of. It's interesting, actually. Some of these are not names that Christians use for their children. I've never met a Pudens or a Linus. People don't use that. You have, have you? Right, okay. Christians often do look to the Bible for names. These are less common ones. But these verses do help us because they set the scene. They help us understand why Paul has written what he did. So in these verses, Paul is telling us about being in prison and a whole bunch of people drawing away from him, failing to support him. So that's particularly verse 16. At my first defense, it's probably a court defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. That is the situation Paul is in. And he's writing to Timothy, the church leader, telling him, this is the sort of thing you will go through. You need to stay with me in loyalty. You need to stay with the message in loyalty. But you can expect to suffer. You can expect to be resisted, because church leaders will stop teaching the truth, many of them. It also shows us in this final section, Paul, he's not just sort of sitting around feeling miserable. He's planning. He's not a solo worker. He works with others. And he wants Timothy to join him and to bring Mark, who's useful in ministry. He's got Luke with him, so let me show you those things. Verse 11, only Luke is with me. And then it goes on at the top of the page, get Mark and bring him with you because he's helpful to me in my ministry. So he wants to have Luke, Timothy and Mark together so that they can plan the next phase of ministry, presumably. He's not giving in. He will die, but he wants the ministry to continue. And the ministry is something that happens with others. God's work is mostly done by people working together. I know that's not always the case. If you're teaching your children at home, you will do that alone. There won't be someone doing that alongside you. If you're speaking about Jesus in your workplace, you might well be the only person who's doing that. Or speaking in a family where there's many unbelievers, you might be alone there. My pages are all over today. A lot of God's work is done together. Door-to-door visiting. We go out as a group. Sunday school. Rob didn't go on his own. One or two people went out to help him in that. You might be in a workplace where there's another Christian there and you meet with them and you pray. That would be a great thing if you haven't started doing that. Praying for the other people in work. Praying for opportunities to speak about Christ. Like I've mentioned our Thursday morning First Steps toddler group. That is a team that run that. They don't do it on its own. And that's what we've got here in the end of Paul's letter. As he goes through all of these names, it's reminding us that he didn't just do it on his own. He worked together with others. But there's also the sad reminder that some have turned aside. Verse 10. For Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. It's a very sad statement, isn't it? Though God promises life in Jesus, some church leaders will stop teaching that. And they'll draw back from the teaching of Paul in the New Testament. They'll draw back from God's clear message. Final message of the letter is verse 22. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you all. That's not just grace be with you, Timothy, but grace be with all Christians who read this letter. We need God's kindness. That's what grace means. We need his kindness because we're not sailing on a smooth lake. We're in a place of stormy opposition. Christians, we will be misunderstood. We will be opposed. And in some places, Christians are persecuted. If we stay faithful, we will suffer. So we need God's grace. But we mustn't give up on God's message of kindness. It's the way that people are saved. It's how we are safe with God now and forever. It's the message in love we are to tell to others. And that's why he's given us the power, the spirit of power and love and self-control so that we can continue to do that work. Let's have a pause to think about these things. So you see on the screen above me, God promises life through Jesus. Some church leaders stop teaching that. But we need to keep teaching God's message, hearing God's message, putting it into practice in our lives. Let's have a moment's quiet. Heavenly Father, we thank you for clear instruction in the Bible that shows us about the world that we live in. The reminder that you sent Jesus as a Saviour who brings us into a new holy life with you. That reminder that he did that not because of anything good we had done. The reminder that people will pull back from being faithful to Paul and the teaching of the Bible, but that we must stay with it. Please make us a church that does stay faithful, does stay loyal to the teaching of the Bible. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.